Hey everybody, welcome back to the Devin Klein Show, and you're in my office today. It is Wednesday, January 3rd when we're recording this, so you might hear this a few weeks after. But what I do want to do is talk about quickly a review of what we've been talking about for the last, let's see, couple months on the podcast, which has been the burn lifestyle and really trying to help you develop yourself personally. And to do so, you know, you have to have a framework, because anything that is complex, we want to make sure that we break it down and make complexity simple with conception. So by conceptualizing, meaning like modeling or laying out a framework for how we can approach life, how we can approach business, our body, our mind, our emotion, our spirit, our relationships, our time, our work, and our money, we are able to then have something really complex be simple because we have a framework. Okay, so this podcast, Five Key Business Insights, is going to focus on an interview. So a lot of times I'll get these email interviews. So like these magazines will send me a list of questions and I'll basically be able to like type responses back. So this is one that I don't know when it came through, but I pulled up, because I've got a bunch of them. So I just pulled one up and I wanted to really go through it because I think it would be really helpful for you in the work part of the pie. Okay, because as we go into 2024 here, we're in January. It's like, this is gonna come out in January, Zay?
Yes.
Okay, this is gonna come out in January. We are gonna make sure that, you know, for all of our business people out there, all of our members, all of our followers, listeners, readers, viewers who are interested in the entrepreneurial journey, business growth and strategy, leadership, you know, company culture, and really innovation, I think is a really important part of that pie, and then future vision and goals. And that's kind of how this magazine laid it out to me was, hey, let's ask you some questions within each of these five topics, these five categories. Cool? So let's get into it. It says, the first one is, Devin, can you share with us the story of how you transitioned from a personal trainer to founding Burn Bootcamp? What were the key challenges and motivations during the phase of your entrepreneurial journey? This is a very interesting question because people oftentimes will ask me, did you find a company or did you kind of pursue your craft? Were you going after being the best personal trainer or were you really trying to start a business? And the answer, and this is an honest answer, is both. I knew I had the business mindset and I knew that I was going to be really good at personal training. How did I know these things? Okay, well, I knew I had the business mindset because of my background. The time I was 11, 12 years old, all the way through, even like my junior year of college, even in the off season, I had a job. I was selling cars off eBay. Some of you know that story. I was, you know, I had my snow shoveling franchise. Some of you have heard that story before. So I had this business sense and I knew that, but what got me out of the situation that I was in growing up, what kind of got me that Central Michigan University scholarship and allowed me to propel myself to the next level, move out of my home, move to Mount Pleasant, Michigan, go to school, was fitness, right? So that was my key to really get out. And so I knew a lot about it. So I took the two things that I knew a lot about outside of baseball, because that was the other thing I knew a lot about, and I put them together. And who knows? Maybe someday I'll bring baseball back around and that can be my second act, you know? I don't think it's a secret that I would like to at some point be able to make the big leagues with the Giants. And although it wasn't as a player, maybe it can be as an owner someday. So these are the things I know: training, business, baseball, and of course, there was a transition from personal training to running a business. It's like people say you've got to work on your business, not in your business. Yeah, that's true, but as an entrepreneur with no resources outside of your own time and money, what you really have to do is you've got to work harder, smarter, longer. You've got to work in your business. You've got to work on your business. You've got to work around your business. You've got to work through your business. You've got to hit it from all angles because it's such a competitive environment out here that the journey that I had to entrepreneurship from coming from the training background was not easy. It was probably the hardest thing I've ever done emotionally. I'll put it that way. Stepping back from training and deciding to run the business full time was the hardest thing I ever had to do emotionally. I love my members so much. Shout out to my ladies at Huntersville, right? We freaking straight up killed it for like 8 years, one of the largest boutique fitness company studios in the country. Did I say studios? It's because that's what everyone, that's what they say in these magazines. They say studios, not a studio. We're a gym, okay? We lift weights. We do hard stuff. We're a gym. So one of the biggest gyms in the country, you know, it was hard to step back from that. When it came to personal training, it's like, where else do you go besides having a gym full of raving fans who are like your family, who take care of you on your birthday? Okay, so let me tell you a story. So I'm training full time. Morgan just steps back. I mean, she is training 8 months, 3 weeks and some change all the way up until basically the day. She's like, Dev, I can't do this anymore. I got to take a break. Okay, I'm training. I'm on the mic. Like, this is a test to how amazing my community was. I'm on the mic. I get a call. I hear it ring. I go over. I pick it up. It's Morgan. Immediately, I know. She goes, boom. Hey, it's time. I'm going to the hospital. It's time. You got to come home. All right. So I'm like, set my phone down. I'm like, what do I do? I'm in the middle of the camp. It just got started. I have one of our franchise partners, dear friend of mine, Laura Aguilar. She's not a trainer, by the way. But she has taken camp with me like a million times. She's an absolute beast. She's an animal. I'm like, Laura, I looked around. There's no other trainers. I'm like, Laura, you've got to train this camp. I got to go. I'm having a baby. And so I take the mic off. I give it to Laura. She puts it on. She looks like, for like 2 seconds, she's like, what the hell do I do? And then I see her lock in and I have confidence and boom, I jet out the door. They're all cheering me. Woo! So I go out the door and I go pick Morgan up. We go to the hospital. We have our baby girl. The community from that moment to the moment when I was putting out fires as a solopreneur over 5 different locations, going up to our Mooresville gym out of a basketball rec center, having to put out like these massive fires as a young entrepreneur. I mean, my crew at Huntersville was there for the whole thing. So it was very hard for me to step back, and it was very hard for me to focus just on the business full time. There was no external challenges during this phase. This was my own emotional struggle. This was me not wanting to let go. But I knew I had a bigger calling. They knew I had a bigger calling. They supported me, which I think was amazing. They always just embraced all the other trainers that I brought in. They supported me like none other. And listen, a large percentage of my group, I'd say like probably a more significant percentage than you would imagine, maybe like 12-15% of that group is either A, still here, B, owns a franchise, multiple franchises, or in some way, shape, or form is a trainer. Like they're still with the organization in like the leadership capacity at some way, not just the member capacity. So it's crazy. And so yeah, it was hard for me to step back. Okay, next question. All right, Burn Bootcamp has experienced remarkable growth since its inception. Can you discuss some strategies that you've employed to scale the business effectively, particularly in a competitive fitness industry? Now, let me start by addressing particularly in a competitive fitness industry. So the question is, can you discuss strategies you've employed to scale the business in this competitive industry? Is it competitive? Would be my first question back. And the answer is everything's competitive, unless you have a net new idea, which is like one in a billion, okay? Like an AI, like ChatGPT, for example, like something like that. But like 99.9999, almost infinity. Like none of us are gonna ever have that idea that no one's ever thought of before, okay? We all can have like a 185 IQ. Okay. So most every industry for that reason is already competitive. Now, I look around when you say competitive industry, and I see 70% of people, meaning the patrons of the industry, 70% of them are categorically, empirically, statistically unhealthy. You know, having too much body fat is not healthy. So having 70% of people being obese or overweight, nearly 70%, it's not quite there, but it has steadily ticked up, even as this seemingly competitive environment has risen. So my question to you is, are we really competing as a fitness industry? I'm not sure we're competing. If we are competing, I don't think it's the right type of competition. So that's my first thought. Can you discuss the strategies you've employed to scale the business effectively in the competitive industry? Well, I would say that I don't believe it's competitive. I think that leadership and management teams are few and far between, very strong. I think talent is very rare. And I believe in our organization and our championship culture more so than I believe in competition or the notion of it. Now, that's kind of weird coming from me because I'm like this ultra hyper competitive person, but I'm competitive, but competition is not external for me. Competition is internal for me. So it's not how do you scale in a competitive fitness industry. It's how do you scale your business and to have it be effective and successful from a unit economic standpoint and have the greater good of everyone that's involved? How do you stop yourself from growing it too fast to where it crashes and burns because you're hyper-competitive with yourself and you always want to outdo yourself? That, to me, is where the real competition lies. So the way you do that is you hire an amazing team. You hire talent around you. If you know you're the point guard, then you hire a center. If you know that you're a center, you hire a point guard. And you put the five people on the floor that in your leadership team that can absolutely ball out and that are going to be resilient along there with you, the ride or die type people, and they can't be good at as good as you are at what you do, and you certainly can't be as good at what they do as they are. And when you have this type of mentality around mitigating your own shortcomings through other people's talent, then there's a side of humility that comes along with that that says, hey, I don't know everything. I can't know everything. And so let me be competitive with myself and let me build the best team I can possibly build. And let me put people around me that can be the check and balance to my gas. So let me put some brakes around me that can be my gas. And, you know, we built an operational infrastructure doing it that way called the Burn Operating System. And the Burn Operating System is now how we scale. It's how I remove myself from the business and let the business be the thing that we all serve, the Burn Operating System. And it has six pieces of the pie. It's vision, it's data, it's process, it's traction, it's issues, and it's people. And these six pieces of the Burn Operating System really give us the framework in order to scale and to grow. And I couldn't do that on my own because my type of framework is there is no framework. Wandering's better. Sprinting forward through walls, having one speed, one direction is the only game plan. That's all you need. Because my job is to show the organization, to hold our organization accountable through the mentality that we all have, the attitude, the effort that we all put in. And that's my job as the visionary. I have to be the representation of the attitude and effort that I would like to see in the organization as a whole. So that's my part in this whole scale thing now. And to never quit, to never, ever quit. You know, people want to ask me, DK, like, how do you become successful? How did you build Burn Bootcamp? How do you do these things? I'm like, well, first of all, never quit. That's number one. Never quit. Never stop asking these questions. But second of all, if you have to ask how, there's a much smaller chance that you're ever going to achieve it, because I didn't know how at one point. Like, Charlie Munger always tells a famous story, the late, great Charlie Munger. I don't know if you know him, but Warren Buffett's partner, forever billionaire investor, always told this story about the lawyers that would come up to him and say, hey, you know, I'm just really not happy being a lawyer. Like, how do you become a billionaire like you? And then you'd always tell the story about Mozart, and he'd say, well, people, you know, that were 22 years old would come up to Mozart and say, Mozart, like, how do I become a composer like you? And he says, well, you're too old for that. You're 22. No, you'd say you're too young for that. You're 22. Like, you're too young to begin, you know, composing like I compose. He goes, well, you started at 10 years old, Mozart. Like, how can you say that to me? You started at 10 years old. What do you mean I'm too young? He goes, well, yeah, I started at 10 years old, but I didn't have to ask anybody how to do it. And I think that's the difference. And so, you know, you can learn. It is a learned thing, but so much of scale is just your attitude. So much of scale is just your mentality. Like, can you have a relentless attitude where you go see a goal, get a goal, but then have the humility to know that you don't know everything and to make sure that you cover your blind spots? So that's your answer. All right, question number three. As a CEO of Burn Bootcamp, how do you define your leadership style, and how has it contributed to shaping the company culture? What do you believe is critical in building a strong team and retaining talent? Though this must have been when I was the CEO. I am not the CEO of Burn Bootcamp anymore. That is Morgan. That is my wife. She's an incredible CEO, and she just turned in one heck of a 2023. Big shout out to Burn Bootcamp in 2023. Let's go, baby. Crushing goals. Okay, how has it contributed to shaping the company culture? Okay, I'll tell you that this is kind of the same answer to the last question. As the CEO, my job was to put in the Burn operating structure, Burn operating system. So I'm going to go ahead and skip over that one and say, and answer the question, what do you believe is critical in building a strong team and retaining talent? Ooh, this is a great one. Okay, so what do you believe is critical in building a strong team and retaining talent? The number one thing that I would say is critical. I mean, you absolutely need this in building a strong team and retaining talent is you need foresight, you need anticipation, you need to show talented people the road ahead. You've got to give them the vision so many times that then they start articulating the vision themselves and they can see their vision within the vision. I always tell my franchise partners, I dream so big because I know how ambitious you are, and I want your personal dream to fit inside of our bigger dream. So the critical part in building a strong team and retaining talent is the fact that a strong team and talent requires that championship aspiration at the end of the season in order to work hard through the season and work towards something collectively. Have one voice, one message, one mission, one goal in mind. And then when you can kind of like point all of those high-powered lasers at one goal, and they know not only what the goal is, but how, here's the important part, how they are affected personally in their own lives by the goal that we attain together as a team. Meaning, when we attain this goal as a team, what do I get to go home and what do I get to tell my family at the dinner table? Because those are the people that I really care about. Those are the people that I want to make proud of me. Those are the people that I'm going to grind to the bone for, because I refuse to bring any pain to that dinner table. So I'll walk through the fire. I'll go through the hardships of going to put in all the hard work to get that to that championship, and I will let my own knuckles bleed so that I can put food on the table. That is what strong teams really care about. Okay, number four. The fitness industry is constantly evolving with new trends and technologies. How does Burn Bootcamp stay innovative and relevant in this dynamic environment? Can you give examples of any recent innovations or shifts in the strategy? This is a great question because innovation is synonymous with technology. Innovation is not technology, but nowadays innovation is synonymous with technology. So anytime you say the word innovation, people a lot of times will automatically think technology. And now, in most cases, that's an absolute true statement in most cases, but it's not completely absolute, meaning that sometimes not innovating can also be innovation, meaning keeping universal human needs like belonging, right, and the need for love and connection at the forefront of your brand and using the technology to innovate the connection. You follow what I'm saying? And so what we're going to do here at Burn isn't put screens on the wall, right, and call ourselves innovative because there's now technology here. What we're going to do is find really deep, strategic, innovative ways to connect humans together around this kind of bonfire, around this fire pit that we call fitness, because people do not go to the fire pit for the fire. The fire burns. The fire's smoky. The fire makes you smell bad. They go to the fire pit because of the people that are sitting around the fire pit. And so our gyms, what we're doing with our fitness product, Burn Bootcamp On Demand, all of these products and services, this entire ecosystem that we've rolled out is really there to help empower the Burn Bootcamp lifestyle for our members and their families, but also, and probably more importantly, is to connect that individual person, okay, the individual member, boom, right to the greater community as a whole, and let them know that they've always got people there for them. They've always got people to encourage them, and they've always got people in their corner, because we can throw technology and screens and AI, and we're gonna do all that stuff, don't get me wrong, and we are doing all that stuff. I mean, there's several departments already that we've got AI deployed in, especially in like our real estate and mapping software for franchise development and really trying to understand how to grow the business in an intelligent way. You know, so we're gonna do those things, but we're gonna innovate in a way that's like, hey, stay true to the soul of the brand. Don't negotiate with the soul of the brand. And remember that as technology comes online, it has this propensity to pull us into solitude, right? From our opinions, from our groups, from our own personal behavior, sitting there scrolling and scrolling and scrolling and scrolling and scrolling and scrolling. Like, there's the antidote to that is, you know, to have technology, especially in this industry, the fitness industry, where like everything is becoming digitized. This is nothing new. Richard Simmons was putting out tapes back in the day. Jane Fonda was putting out tapes back in the day in this industry. It's not like that molded into DVDs and now streaming is like the only, like, today, community and fitness has never been bigger. It's never been bigger. It's going to keep growing. Why is that? Because of the universal human need, no matter whether you speak Mandarin, Spanish, English, whether you're from Boston or London, Australia, Taiwan, it doesn't matter. We all want to belong. We all have this need to be a part of a community. And our innovation through technology will look through the lens of enabling human connection. And then on top of that, what's going to happen is that the market will demand this omni-channel presence. And that means, is for those of you that don't know what that word means, is a physical, digital, basically every channel possible. We're talking about physical and digital channels in which people can experience the brand, the workout brands that they love anywhere they are. And in the fitness industry, what we're betting on is that the franchise companies that are going to win, meaning the biggest companies that in fitness are all franchise companies for the most part. Like LA Fitness is up there. I think that's about the only one. We're gonna have this this competition really amongst the big fitness companies, and it's going to be who can serve the franchisee the most. And I think Burn Bootcamp, through the lens of community fitness that we just talked about, is not only already winning in a big way in that category, but not that many people know about it yet. Maybe I should shut up. Maybe I should stop talking so much. Nah. We want to share it all. We want people to grow. We want our communities to grow. Hey, listen, there's, like I said, 70% of this country is overweight, is obese. We know that's not healthy scientifically. statistically, empirically, I understand body positivity. I want us to be positive about our bodies, but I also want us to be realistic about our health. And I want us, you know, to call a problem when it is a problem. And as we as a fitness industry, we're failing, because our goal should be to have the inverse of that number, where only 30% of people, you know, are obese or overweight, and 70% of people are healthy. And notice I don't say happy. You can be obese and you can be overweight and you could still be happy. I'm not suggesting that. I'm really keeping my conversation in this sphere around healthy. I want you to be healthy. I want you to live a really long time. I want you to have a long life. And we know body fat is toxic. We know toxic is acidic. And we know too much acidity equals disease. Okay. Last one, future vision goals. Looking toward the future, what are your long-term goals for Burn Boot Camp? How do you plan to evolve the brand and its offerings to meet changing consumer needs and market conditions? The future of fitness from a consumer perspective will not only be an omni-channel approach to the workout, but I think it will be an omni-channel approach to the trust that a fitness company can create, and then the product extensions that it can create from that, or service extensions, or product lines, or line extensions. The more a person trusts any brand, the more that consumer is willing to buy from that brand. Think about like a popular company in the UK is the Virgin brands, Virgin Mobile, Virgin Air, Virgin everything, right? Well, that's a respected brand. So the reason that the Virgin logo is on all the businesses is because people, regardless of it, whether it's a train or a plane or a record or what else, God knows what else Richard Branson has up his sleeve in Virgin, he's done everything under the sun, people trust the brand. So I think branding is going to be the most important conversation that we can have of the next 10 years, because audio is here. Audio's now. Okay, so for all of my fitness professionals, business entrepreneurs out there that wants to hear what's happening right now that's going to affect them the most in the next 5 years to 10 years from a business perspective, there's really two conversations. Number one, it's obviously AI. But number two, a very, very, very close second, if in the fitness industry is it number one, is audio. My kids, Cameron, Maxwell, and Ryan, all know how to use Google, hey Google, from the moment they could talk. They are conditioned for voice. They're gonna use voice much more than they're going to type. My daughter doesn't pick up a laptop computer and doesn't even want to type. She wants to talk it all in. And why does this matter? Because when people Google things by audio, they're not going to say workout near me. They're not going to say get me a cheeseburger. And if they do say get me a cheeseburger, you're going to want the recommendation to be your burger joint, right? Because that voice isn't going to say, hey, pick from these five burger joints. That one's going to say the closest burger joint with the highest reviews is Bob's Burger Joint. Would you like me to take you there? Would you like directions? Yes, would be your only response. So branding is gonna be really important. People aren't gonna say, in my space, they're not gonna say, they might say workouts near me and we're gonna want Burn Boot Camp to be the very first one. I found a Burn Boot Camp near you. It has the highest reviews. Would you like me to schedule you a 7-day test drive now? Yes, I would like you to do that. Now, if you don't have a good brand and somebody says workouts near me and you're, you know, Jill's Fit Body out of the garage, that's great, but you don't have branding recognition. And so people aren't going to find you as easy. And so it's very important that you establish a brand in your community. If you don't establish a brand, then you're going to become less and less and less and less relevant over time. So for those of you thinking about rebranding this year, here's one thing that might help you. Don't. Google is a dumb name. Apple, it's a computer company. Sounds like a fruit company. Nike, what's that, Greek goddess or something? Burn, okay, that's so generic, right? Anybody, it's not about the name or what you call it. It is about what you stand for. It is about the message and what you do for people. And if you do great things that make people's lives more wonderful, they're just gonna be glad to participate in your brand regardless of the name. I can promise you that your logo colors, your logo, your name, none of that aesthetic stuff matters at all in the beginning. Okay. There's five entrepreneur questions to get your work, your money, your business, to get all your things right in 2024. A couple updates on the podcast. We're going to be transitioning. I'm going to bring on a special guest host, so stay tuned for that. We're going to be transitioning into a more of a real time. We're doing this so often that we don't need to make it so evergreen. We don't need to make it so non-current eventy, non-eventful. We're going to make it all here, all now, all things. It's going to be fun. It's going to be dynamic. Going to bring some screens in, things like that. So stay tuned, share this if you love it. You're not going to lose me. You're not going to lose personal development. You're not going to lose the burn lifestyle and everything that we talk about here. But we are going to keep evolving. We're going to keep growing, like I hope you do too. Okay? All right, you guys, subscribe. Do all the things. Two claps on two. One, two. I'm just warming up. I'm just getting started. I was going hard. Now I'm going harder. I was going hard. Now I'm going harder. I was going hard, now I'm going hard.